Good evening, everybody. Are we all good to start? 6 o'clock, so we'll get going. So, welcome into Licensing Committee. If I can start with the normal housekeeping rules before we begin. No members of the public, so don't need to tell them where the toilets are. If there is a fire alarm, please leave the building as we normally would and head towards the nearest fire exit, making our way to the Cathedral Concourse. And if the alarm is intermittent, then this is a lockdown, at which point we will stay here and await further instruction from someone who's figured out what's going on. Before we start the meeting, can I remind everyone that this meeting is held in public and the audio recording may be made available on the website in due course. So please therefore speak clearly into your microphones. Any apologies for absence?
Thank you, Chair. We have no apologies.
Perfect. Do any members have any declarations of interest? Happy days, flying through it. Minutes of the meetings held. So we've got quite a few of these.
Catch the cell phone.
Yeah, I missed your hand.
Is it on?
That's it.
Just letting you know, I responded to the survey that we're looking at today. So how I react to that, or what your reaction to that, is entirely up to you, Chair.
Thank you very much. So, minutes of the meetings held, we've got quite a few of these. Councillor Wiggin, hopefully you're going to be putting your hand up quite a lot as the only member of the committee that was at some of these meetings. So, the first one is the licensing subcommittee meeting on the 31st of March. Can I have a proposer?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. And a seconder? That can be anyone. Thank you. Licensing Act subcommittee from the 24th of April.
Happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you very much. And a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Hiller. Same subcommittee on the 15th of May.
Happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you very much. And seconder again, Councillor Hiller. The 7th of July subcommittee meeting.
Happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you very much. And again. Subcommittee from the 12th of July.
Happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. 9th of August.
Happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you very much. And the 13th of September.
Happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you very much. Not sure about that one. Got something to raise. Last but not least, the 20th of October. And you cannot propose this one, Councillor Wiggin. So looking for Councillor Bond or Councillor Thirlbourne.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Councillor Bond. Would you still like to second? Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to item four then, the cumulative impact policy and cumulative impact assessment, review, consultation and responses. Terry, would you like to introduce the item?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Members are here this evening to make a recommendation to full council on the future of the cumulative impact policy, which we refer to as a SIP, which forms section 12 of the overarching statement of licensing policy. The SIP was originally adopted in 2013 as the cumulative impact of a significant number of licensed premises concentrated in the Millfield, New England area was having a negative impact on the licensing objectives, which are the prevention of crime and disorder, public safety, the prevention of public nuisance, and the protection of children from harm. In 2013, when the SIP was introduced, it was part of a wider 10-year initiative called Up Can Do to tackle the many challenges facing the area, bring about transformational change to improve the quality of life, outlook and aspirations of local people. Since 2013, the SIP has been subject to review, consultation and readoption in 2015, 2018 and 2020. As a requirement of a change in legislation, a cumulative impact assessment, the CIA, was published upon the SIP re-adoption in 2018. In 2020, the SIP was modified in line with the evidence received so that it affected applications which requested off-sales of alcohol and a revised CIA was published. As there is a statutory requirement to review and consult every 3 years, a consultation was recently carried out between the 7th of September and the 18th of October 2023. Details of that consultation are set out within Section 6 of the report. The responses and evidence received are summarised in Section 7 of the report and attached in their entirety in Appendices E to I. The areas within the SIP boundary include Gladstone, Millfield and New England and are part of Central, North and Park wards. The area has disproportionate level of social challenges with overcrowding, poor housing stock, deprivation, high levels of alcohol outlet density and a high concentration of alcohol-related crime and incidents. Officers' comments and recommendations are detailed within Section 8 of the report. Members will note that all responses are in support of its retention, and that officers recommend that the cumulative impact policy is retained and a revised cumulative impact assessment is drafted containing the new evidence received as the area continues to suffer the negative impact of a concentration of premises with off-sales of alcohol. The licensing team continue to work with partner agencies such as the police, trading standards, home office, immigration, etc. to continue to make improvements in the area. Other initiatives, such as the Home Office Clear Hold Build, have also been put into effect. A cumulative impact assessment, CIA, may be published by a licensing authority to help it to limit the number of types of license applications granted in areas where there is evidence to show that the number or density of licensed premises in the area is having a cumulative impact and leading to problems which are undermining the licensing objectives. As members are aware, a SIP is not absolute, where an applicant can demonstrate that their application would not add to the cumulative impact, a license may be granted. I'll pass back to the chair for members to deliberate.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions? Councillor Reyes.
Thank you, Chair. Could you explain to me about the paragraph 11.2, we revised the CIP boundary, where you say there's insufficient evidence to substantiate an extension or reduction of the current defined area, and there's no evidence to suggest that this is being caused by the cumulative impact of licensed premises in the area. And does anybody collect the evidence? And if so, what sort of evidence do you need in order to alter the area? Because I can't quite work out what's happening. Thank you. That's just the first question, please.
Sorry. Thank you, Councillor. So that particular paragraph refers to information provided by Public Health that they've shown areas of other areas where the concentration of alcohol admissions is higher. So when you're looking at a cumulative impact policy, what you're looking at is a saturation of licensed premises within an area. So, and that is what's negative impacting on the licensing objectives. But we've got nothing to suggest that particular area, the other area that's mentioned, has a saturation of licensed premises within it.
And is that because nobody's collecting any evidence or what? Is there not a collection of evidence by the police about alcohol, alcohol impact and that sort of thing with prosecutions and things like that?
I'm not aware of the police doing any prosecutions, to be absolutely honest with you. But usually it comes to light that there are no specific stats collected in relation to how many licenses are granted in any particular area. It usually rises because the police and the alcohol incidents, the amount of crime and alcohol incidents are usually forwarded by the police, but the police data is suggesting that the SIP area is still the highest, apart from obviously Central is overall, which takes into account the city centre.
Right.
So all the data has to correlate as well, so it has to be sort of supporting.
Yeah, sure, that's what I was just wondering whether any, because I can remember that being a problem before, 3 years ago, that's all.
Which
and I thought
area
it was probably
that?
Time that we actually did collect sufficient evidence, because it worried me that there wasn't enough evidence in order to do this policy again. That was the worry.
The CIA area.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at the responses received, the information from Public Health is still saying the admissions to hospital are still high. The other main issues in the area, the deprivation and things like that, are still present in the area.
Yeah.
And whilst the police statistics note a drop in the last year, we are putting that down to the fact that the number of off-sale premises has declined.
Right.
And also
that.
It's the initiatives that are being put in place to combat the other problems occurring. So in Annex A, you'll see where some licences have been revoked due to various issues. For example, the UK Border Agency reviewed a licence.
Yeah.
And I believe the police also reviewed a licence as well, and I think Trading Standards have as well. So it's all of those partnership working. So you have to identify the problem or a particular premises. If you can tie it to a premises, then obviously action will take place on that premises. Mm. But whilst, so yes, you're right, in as much as the police statistics for the last year have declined in the SIP area, they're still higher than other areas.
Right. Okay. And could I ask? Thank you. I noticed on 11.3 that there was this business of the application, the evidence demonstrates the policy should only apply to applications requesting off-sales of alcohol. Because I think in 2020 there was talk of it applying to on and off as well. And so you'll just say it's still just off licences that we need to worry about.
Yeah. So in 2020, the SIP changed from... So the SIP used to apply to all types of applications in that area. So in 2020, the evidence received back in 2020, particularly from the police, was the... if you look at the... I think they're called chloropleth maps, where they sort of concentrate the areas into one.
Yeah.
So they couldn't tie it down to any particular on-licence premises. And when you looked at the numbers of how many on-licence and off-licence premises there were and where the incidents were occurring, it wasn't occurring at premises. So it was considered that the off-licences, where people go late at night, because a lot of the places down there, people aren't going down in that area necessarily to enjoy the area. They go in there because that's where late night alcohol can be purchased. And that creates its own problems by people doing that, because then they often drink in the street and cause antisocial behaviour and toilet in people's gardens and all sorts of madness goes on sometimes. And that's why the policy was amended in 2020 so that it only related to off sales of alcohol, because when you've got somebody in a premises that's dispensing the alcohol, there's that assessment that takes place at the bar, and it's a controlled environment, whereas somebody buys a bottle of vodka, they'll drink it in the street and then all sorts happen.
Yeah, sure. Because I did notice on the Appendix F, the Safer Communities one, I was a bit worried about that. It says other factors to consider, and the comment is there's a concern that if the CI is not continued this area, there will not be sufficient police or council resources to tackle any increase in antisocial behaviour or crime. I just wondered if that was a good legal reason.
Thankfully, that's not in my report.
I'm sure it's true. I'm not saying it's not true, but I just wondered whether that was something that we were able to take into account.
That's not something I've taken into account, to be honest with you, is the resources, because this relates to the licensing objectives and whether or not they're being undermined.
Sure.
And not necessarily in relation to the local authority or the police recruitment levels. But I would say that they do have an impact if the policy is lost and then you get more and more off licences in the area. I think that you will get more and more problems in the area, because as the number has declined, and so have the crimes and incidents, it's the other factors that we need to bring down as well, the health factors, really.
Of course. Thank you very much.
Do we have any other questions? Councillor Quayle?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the report. I think what I'd like to ask is that we often see that
there are consultations that take place and often remedies. I think rehabilitation actually forms quite a large part of preventative measures in order to address crime. And I see that one of the stakeholders is Drink Aware, but was just wondering that when we have organisations such as Aspire that work very closely with the local authority, how much in terms of engagement have we thought about taking them on board, because they do offer services for alcohol rehabilitation and addiction, and whether public health or initiative could take place working with public health and using their expertise to try and embark upon projects or just awareness campaigns to prevent the health aspect side of things, as you've just mentioned. So it was just a thought that I thought I'd bring to your attention.
Anyone else? In that case, we have been asked to consider a revision to note the contents of the report and consultation responses as detailed in Section 7 and officers' comments as detailed in Section 8, and to make a recommendation to full council to retain the SIP in its current format in relation to applications affected, those requesting off sales, and boundary update and republish the CIA with the current evidence obtained during the consultation. Do I have a proposer? Councillor Wiggin, and a seconder? Councillor Hill. It's like we're back at the first agenda item, isn't it? Thank you very much. We'll now move to the vote. If members can raise their hands, those in favour? Unanimous? Okay. In which case, thank you very much, members. I don't need Karen to read the results. I think we're all pretty clear with that. So I will now close the meeting. Thank you very much, everyone.